The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Are you aware that God inspired Solomon to write for us a secret about life? Do you want to know the secret? This important secret is that kind and merciful words can get us ahead, while cruel or foolish words will bring us to destruction. The reason I say it's a secret is because most people don't know this. Because more people, if they really knew this and understood this, they would make choices and they would choose to have the kind and merciful words. Another aspect of this secret is that we can change our lives for the better by choosing to take rule over our tongue, over the words that we speak. And here's another important point of it. We can make that choice today. We need to understand our mouth has a lot of potential for good or for evil in our relationships with both God and with man. And if we think that we can speak, talk, use any kind of words that we would want to, then from Scripture we come to the conclusion that we are going to go down, and it will be soon. With these points in mind, please go with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2. Proverbs 13 and verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. So we need to realize, we need to think about it, we need to understand that our good words can determine success, and our good words can bring blessing and favor. While on the other hand, our wicked words will bring pain and destruction. Let me show you something that I don't think that we tend to think about. We know this illustration I'm going to give, but we might not have thought about it in this exact context that we're looking at. We know that King David provides for us a good example of someone who was successful. We know that. We understand that. But let me ask you this. Did you know that David's speech, his words, played an important role in his success? Have you ever thought about it that way? Go with me to the book of 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. We're not going to focus on his words. We're going to focus on reactions of some people based upon what David said, his words. As we begin this, let's ask ourselves the question, let's think about it. How did David get promoted from following the sheep, and this is scripture uses it, the sheepfold, to being one who received the king's favor? Scripture shows us that it was his gracious words. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass when he, David, had made an end of speaking unto Saul. This is the king. So like I said, we're not going to look at his words exactly. I want to show and focus on their reaction to other people because of his words. that the soul of Jonathan, and Jonathan, of course, was one of Saul's sons, was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him, David, as his own soul. What an incredible verse to think about the love that is going to come out that these two men had for one another. Verse 2, and Saul took him that day, David that day, and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow. Jonathan is a soldier. These are the two most important things other than water that a soldier has. He took them off and he gave them to David. And to his girdle. Verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants, because of what David had said. But do you really know why? Well, it's because of the kind and merciful words of David that we come to understand can even win over kings. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. By the words. By the kind of words you speak. Please also understand, brethren, that the sense of this verse can apply to our lives also today. Our speech, our words, can bring good to our lives, or they can bring violence. We all know, when we really think about it, we all know that both God and good men love those who speak well, and they despise those who speak wickedly. But let me ask you this. Do we know that our mouths are not our own? No matter what our deceitful heart will tell us. Let me show you scripture. Psalm 12 and verse 4. Psalm 12 and verse 4. Who has said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Those are the words of the wicked, not the words of the wise. Because the wise is going to understand, doesn't belong to me. This mouth does not belong to me. It belongs to God. And so you want to represent God with godly words. Now, with this in mind, please go with me to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love this power that they have, life and death in the words, will eat the fruit thereof. Wow. Let's think about these words for a moment. What we need to realize is that words are that important, life or death. We can use our words for good, for our profit, to our own benefit and extension benefiting others, or we can abuse our words to our punishment or even the punishment of others. Because according to the Bible, as we just saw, as we just read here in verse 21, our words have power even unto life and death. Brother, we need to think about this point, because this is why we should not use idle, vain, careless, or disrespectful words. Instead of that, on the other hand, we should always speak with caution and with purpose. Now, I understand, being human, this is not always easy to do. We're looking at the model. We're looking at what the goal is. So going back to this verse 18, verse 21, what are some of the ways that we can be speaking death? I'm going to give you one through however many numbers I have. I think it's 8 or 9 of them. And I'm going to give you verses. I'm not going to read these verses. But I'm going to give you the points, and you can write them. You can look at the verses later. And when I give you one, it has a verse. It may be 2 or 3 verses all around. Number one, these are some of the ways that we can be speaking death. Number one, taking God's name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. Number two, lying. Number two, lying. Exodus 20 and verse 16. Number one, taking God's name in vain. Number two, lying. Number three, cursing and or swearing. Cursing and or swearing. James 5 and verse 12. James 5:12. Number four, gossip. Number four, gossip. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Leviticus 19, 16. Number five, ranting. Promoting unlawful division and vain arguing. Ranting, promoting unlawful division and vain arguing. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4. And like I said, on all of these, 1 Timothy 6 verse 4, on several of these at least, you have to look at several of the verses. This is just the main focus of it, but you have to read others around it to get the whole point. Number 6, rebellious speech. Rebellious speech. Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Number 7, vulgar or profane speech. Isn't that the same thing as number 3, cursing or swearing? Not exactly, when you really understand these words. And I'm not going into explaining them. I'm just listing out some of the ways that we could be using our tongue, our speech, that are words of death. Vulgar or profane speech. Galatians 5, verse 20. Galatians 5, 20. Number 8. I do have 9. I told you it was 8 or 9. 8. Jealous speech. Jealous speech. Galatians 5:21. And number 9, spreading false doctrines. Spreading false doctrines. Galatians 5:21. And these are just some of the sinful speeches that we as humans can speak. These are broad categories when you look at it in a lot of ways, but and there are others, and we could break these down. Still focusing on this verse, Proverbs 18:21, we also see in this that this verse contains what we would call some figures of speech, or it may be some Hebrewisms. The English is more figures of speech. And I'm going to focus on really just one aspect of the figures of speech in there, and that is eat the fruit. The phrase, eat the fruit. It is referring to God's blessings and the praise of men. Now, that's in the verse what it is referring to, because that's the good aspect of it. This is what you would be wanting to do. We would want it to be choose. And it is the fruit of our mouth that earns it, and we earn it, and I'm using that word cautiously there, but I still think it's a good word, by our kind and wise words. We can also contrast the opposite by being or by using verbal transgressors or verbal sinners, verbal transgressors. In other words, those who speak harshly and foolishly. Because out of this same verse, what we see is they eat violence because both God and man will punish them. Now, I understand you could step back and say, well, that's not so happening in our society today. I'm not referring to what's happening in society. I'm referring to what God does. And I'm referring to what, quote, good men will do. People who understand the Bible, we would not accept this speech of someone. Whereas society does, that's totally different. I'm not dealing with it from that point of view. So they will eat the violence because God and good men would punish them. We'll see later how God is going to punish them, and what man can do is staying away from them. I mean, that's at least a very simple thing. And here's a lesson for us. The easy way to grow in favor with both God and man is by improving our words, the way we speak to one another. And that sounds so simple, but that's an important lesson that we need to get, because it's something that we are missing so much in our society today. So, words can produce either good or violence to our own life. Proverbs 12 and verse 14. Proverbs 12, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. 13, verse 3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And here's here's an important and critical point about this verse and this whole concept we're looking at to this place, and that is we have the choice. We have a choice. As I've already been saying throughout this teaching, that good words produce the blessings and favor of both God and from good men. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. 15:23. I'm going to tell you right off, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 24:26. Proverbs 24, verse 26. Every man shall kiss His lips that gives a right answer. That's obviously Hebrewism, and I'm not going into it. We can get the picture. I think we can understand. In other words, we really like what they're saying. It does us good. It does our heart good. It does our being good when someone is speaking right and good and correct words. And that's how we react to it. And why is that true? Because good words can demonstrate a good heart. Matthew 12, words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, verse 34, we begin. Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is this a good heart or a bad heart? We're going to determine by what comes out of the mouth. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what he's saying. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, meaning of his heart, brings forth evil things. That's pretty straightforward. Verse 36, but I say unto you, it doesn't end it there, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words shall you be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Justified, meaning that's good in the context, or you will be condemned. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 8. James 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men or men which are made after the similitude of God. We bless God, but we curse man who looks like God? It's sort of like, what are we thinking? It's sort of like, this is what he's asking us. What are you? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And he says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Then on the other hand, evil words invite the wrath and judgment of God and men. We've been seeing that. We're kind of saying the same thing over and over. Proverbs 18 and verse 6. Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. How smart is that? Not very. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. Yes, strife and reproach shall cease. Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 1. Why boast you yourself in mischief, O mighty man? Why are you boasting about that? These are words. Boasting about. This is what he's talking about. The goodness of God endures continually. The tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Think about it. Salah. Think on this. Verse 4. You love all devouring words, O you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and root you out of the land of the living. Selah, think on this. One more verse in this context. In Psalm 140, verse 11. 140, verse 11. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hurt the violent man to overthrow him. Remember I said, we can speak good words, we can speak evil words, and that's going to be to the detriment to us, the evil speaker, by both God and man. This is what we see. So we need to understand that our evil words and speech demonstrates a disobedient and wicked heart. Just as the good ones can declare a good heart, the evil words can declare an evil heart. Here's some things that I think we need to consider, that we need to know and to look at as believers, because all of us would want to be on the side of the wise speaker as opposed to the not so wise speaker. One thing that we need to do is to fill our mouth with praise and thanksgiving. We need to fill our mouth with praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord some of the times. Is that what it says? No. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. A second thing that we need to do is to speak often to others about God. And I hate to say this, I'm not dealing with non-believers here. I'm dealing with believers. I think that there are times whenever people who are believers don't want to talk about God. And I have to scratch my head. Why is this? Why is this? Malachi 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. He paid attention and he listened to what they said. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his God's name. The third thing, we could spend time on each one of these points, and I understand that. A third thing that we need to do is to let our words always be gracious and always edifying. In other words, building up others. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to the use of building up, that it may minister or serve grace unto the hearers. Our words that we speak are to be edifying, lifting up those who hear the words. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. I find this interesting because in our English language, we are told, always avoid the use of always. And the Bible is full of it. I think that we need to have the word always before us. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Not too much, but just seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then, what happens if we do these things? Well, I think that we all would agree that we would have a much better life and that we would save ourselves. And I save, we understand Jesus Christ is the Savior. I'm using this word with parentheses. And that we would save ourselves from violent punishment. We can save ourselves because Jesus Christ has taught us that we have this choice. So we choose. That's in that sense how I'm using this word. We save ourselves from violent punishment. What I'd like to do now is I'd like for us to consider a few different kinds of speech, different kinds of things that how people talk. And I'm comparing the wise person and the not so wise person. We're going to contrast these people. A wise person never spreads damaging reports about someone else. They never give a false report. They never give any kind of damaging report about someone else. Nor do they slander them, nor do they backbite them. In fact, what we see is love and kindness are in the mouth of this wise person. And I mean wise from the point of view of speaking wise words, as opposed to the not so wise, meaning someone who's not speaking such wise words. Proverbs 17 and verse 9, 17 verse 9, Proverbs, he that covers a transgression seeks love. You know about it. You can choose to either pass it on or not pass it on. Choice, remember, choice, it's ours. This wise person chooses not to pass it on. But he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Not asking for comments or show of hands, but how many of us have ever had people who have passed on things true or not true? It's not the issue. Whether what they say is true or not true, is do they pass it on, and as a result of it, we have had separation of friends. And the answer is, I'm pretty sure most every one of us have had that. Again, whether it's true or not true isn't the point. Someone is passing on things and it separates friends. Wrong approach. A wise person, in their words, they don't. They cover the sin. That's why I'm saying it doesn't matter what they pass on, whether it's true or not true. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. Now, on the other hand, the not so wise person sins against others by backbiting, by slander, by talebearing, by whispering. You can come up with all these words on your own. If you're trying to write every word, you probably won't unless you're taking some kind of shorthand. And all of these, both God and good men hate. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, the A part of the verse. A proud look, a lying tongue. Now go to verse 19. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10, verse 18. This is the other one. This is the not-so-wise speaker. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. If we ever wonder how God looks at these things if we do them, he just told us. It's not my words. Proverbs 16:28. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. The next, a wise person always respects authority. Giving honor where honor is due. This is one I think that sometimes that we even in the church have, I don't know if it's misunderstood it or just don't want to believe it or accept it. I'm not sure what it is, but we have a tendency in the church to do this. Go with me to Romans 13 and verse 7. 13 verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. You go, yeah, but they're not worthy of honor. Well, I hadn't finished. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter 2, 17. Honor all men. I looked this up. There is not a contrast here, or there is not a difference here, whether it is speaking about people who are good or evil. It includes all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Because they're in a position of authority set there by God. Just, but I don't like this person, or I don't like that person. We might need to commit this verse to memory. Because that's what it says. I looked the words up. That's what it means. Then on the other hand, the not-so-wise person will openly or boldly disapprove of rulers and criticize them. Scripture will show us that it is like a brute and ignorant beast. That's what it's compared to. Which the Bible also goes on to say, they're going to be destroyed. Jude, verse 8. There's only one chapter, if you need it. Jude 1, verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. There's nothing good about that. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Look it up. The word uncleanness can include unclean words. And despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. This is referring back to Jude, verses 9 and 10, where Jude goes on and says, Michael, when he confronted Satan, didn't even speak evil of him. Except the Lord rebuke you. Verse 12, this is still in 2 Peter 2, verse 12. But these, as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed. Remember, that's what I said. He makes a comparison to them. Speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. We have any questions about it? I don't think so. We've only got to read those two contrasting verses. But I'm not done. The next, the wise person speaks to edify, to lift up others. We've already covered that, and to avoid idle words. I've already spoken that, but I want to draw it attention to again. Proverbs 17:27. 17:27. He that has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 29, 11, 29:11. We've read this one. We focus in, you know, a sermon on this one sometime back. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. Matthew 12, verse 36, going back to the words of Jesus, Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you, Jesus speaking, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. One or the other. Then on the other hand, the not so wise person gossips, talks foolishly and filthy, and judges or jest, J-E-S-T, as the scripture calls it. What is interesting is God ranks these, he puts them in the same category, this kind of speech, with fornication. Which he also shows us is a reason why he's going to come and judge. So I was starting to look at it and go, I don't think we want to be involved in this. Ephesians 5 verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, again, this word can mean unclean speech, words, or covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as being saints. That's pretty strong language whenever we stop and think about what he is actually saying here. Then he goes on and he says, neither filthiness, and this and other translations, and several of the translations actually will say filthy words or even cursing. Don't let these things be named much among you. Neither let filthy words be named among you, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And our word for that would be joking around, kidding people, putting people down. That's what he's talking about. Which are not convenient, but rather, on the other hand, this is how you should be doing it. You should be giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, and it can again mean unclean words, nor covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's pretty straightforward what he thinks about, on the other hand, type speaking. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Remember I said, which is one of the reasons why he's going to come to judge. And one of those reasons he puts it in here is because of unclean words. And he gives these all kinds of examples so that we will understand what he means. Then the wise person is a peacemaker. He's a person who speaks to comfort and to soothe, using soft words to turn away wrath. And he's never a scorner. He never scorns. I think I mentioned that before, but it also fits here. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We have a choice. Soft answers, grievous words. What is the result you want? We choose. Proverbs 25:15. For by long forbearance is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bones. Breaks through, gets down to it. On the other hand, the not so wise person uses harsh and proud words that provoke anger. He reviles men with names, with sarcasm. This could be what I also would refer to as put-downs. And he does these things with his words. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Comparison. Comparison. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman and or man. Proverbs 26:21. As coals are to burning coals, in other words, that's what keeps it going, and wood to fire, what keeps it going, so is a contentious man to kindle strife, to keep it going. The wise person is not going to do that with these words. Not so wise person, they're going to do that with their words. Go back to Matthew again, chapter 5 this time. These are the words of Jesus in this context that we're seeing here. Matthew 5 and verse 21. 5:21. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. We know this context, but put it in the context of this teaching today. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, woe, raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, you worthless, you're not, there's no value, this is what he's replying to here, shall be in danger of hell fire. I got pages and pages more. And I knew that I never intended to go through them all. But I have a whole long list of other things just going through and just looking at seeing what the Bible says. And he contrasts all the way through the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Good words, bad words. Choose. Good words, bad words. Choose. So, brethren, here are a few what I would call major points or lessons that we need to learn from all of this. Number one, we need to choose the good life. And what I mean by good life here is we need to choose good words. I'm contrasting this being good words or bad words. We need to choose good words in our lives. Number two, we need to stop evil talking. If we've been involved in it in any way out of whatever, not knowing, not understanding, or just getting caught up in a society, we need to stop. That's the second point that we see from this teaching. The third one is we need to realize that it really is that simple. We choose it. We choose it. Psalm 34 and verse 12. Psalm 34 and verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? That's why I use the phrase would choose good life. That's why I'm using it based upon that verse. And I said what I'm referring to is choosing good words. Verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil. Point number two. And your lips from speaking guile. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. He's showing We choose it. Those are the three powerful lessons. We choose good life, and that's meaning good words. And the second one is we're going to refrain ourselves from evil words. And the third one is we're the one who chooses it, and it really is that easy. It's a simple choice. Do I turn to the right or turn to the left? That's a choice. Do I speak good words or bad words? It's a choice. And that's the lesson that we see from here. So I hope that we learn that we might need to improve our words or our speech. And I hope that what we will do is that we will choose to do that, and we will begin that today. And the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, and happy Sabbath, and happy choices to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.